It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today is Tuesday, August 7th. I'm Jay Gabler.
Hey, and it's Jade with a story on the way about the destruction of an iconic music venue formerly owned by Johnny Depp.
And I will have a story with a shocking fact about the music industry. But before we get to that, here are a few of today's headlines, starting with a story about Johnny Depp.
Ooh, Johnny Depp Day. All right.
Johnny Depp Day, for better or for worse. Well, so he is the co-star of a new movie called City of Lies, co-starring Forrest Whitaker. The movie is about the investigation of the 1997 murder of the notorious B.I.G., following a cop and a journalist who are trying to track down Biggie's killer. The movie was scheduled for release this coming September 7th, and it's been pulled. There's no official reason for why it's been pulled, but The Hollywood Reporter speculates it may have something to do with allegations of violence against Johnny Depp. A lot of bad press he's been getting lately. He is not the hottest box office draw, to say the least, these days. Lady Gaga has detailed her upcoming Las Vegas residency.
Yes. Okay. Tell me more. I want to be there, front row center.
So being Gaga and always being a little extra, she is bringing two totally different types of show to Las Vegas. The main show, most of the dates will be a production called Enigma, which is described as a, quote, brand new odyssey of her pop hits built as an experience unlike any other.
Can I tell you that's the most Las Vegas sounding name for a show that you can come up with? Enigma.
It must have been taken before, right?
There
must
have
been some, but it's never been taken by Gaga. So it's hers now. She owns it. So that'll be most of the shows, but four of the shows in the run are going to be themed jazz and piano. So a different kind of Gaga, maybe for fans of her Tony Bennett collaborations. So the whole residency opens December 28th and runs through November 8th, 2019. A couple of TV news stories today. Speaking of Gaga, she is not going to be on the next season of American Horror Story, but it's just been revealed that Stevie Nicks is returning.
Please say she's playing a witch.
Well, she's probably playing herself.
Oh, that's fine.
Kind of like the same. Spiritual, you know, kind of witch in touch with the everything.
Yeah.
So she made a cameo last season playing herself, and she's going to show up somehow in the new season called American Horror Story Apocalypse, premiering on FX September 12th. Also in TV news, Jade, could you name one song by the Plain White Tees?
Ooh, yes. Delilah?
Hey there, Delilah.
Yes.
It is the Plain White Tees song. It came out in 2006. So according to Stereogum, members of the band are heading out to L.A. this month to pitch the idea of a TV series based on that song.
Perfect.
Yep. So they're going to meet with producers and pitch the idea of, quote, a contemporary fairy tale that expands the story within the song.
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you...
All right, so Pave Paradise put up a luxury hotel or a luxury condo. It's the sad story of things that happen over and over and over again, Jay. So if you're familiar at all with the Viper Room, that is a legendary Los Angeles rock club on Sunset Strip. It's been sold, and it sounds like it's going to be closing its doors for good. So according to the LA Business Journal, the 250-capacity venue was sold off along with a couple other properties for $80 million. And people in the know are saying that the Viper Room could be demolished and replaced with luxury apartments or a hotel. And here is why this is a travesty, in my opinion. Okay, so this is a building with so many stories and all of this lore. Is it haunted? What's going on? It opened as the Viper Room in 1993. Johnny Depp as part owner. And that same year, it was the location of River Phoenix's death. And that's kind of like the one thing that usually pops into people's minds when they think of the Viper Room. Here's some things perhaps you wouldn't know. Adam Duritz, the lead singer of Counting Crows, he decided when he got his newfound fame and he was struggling with it a bit, he goes, hey, Johnny, can I be a bartender? So there you go. You could have seen Adam slinging some brews. It was also the location for the high-stakes game of poker that Molly Bloom put together. If you remember the movie Molly's Game, that was based there. Leonardo DiCaprio was one of the people who played. It was like a $100,000 buy-in. And before Johnny Depp opened it, And I should say, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were the very first band on stage. This building was called the Melody Room, and it was a gangster hangout. And then, this is one of my favorite things, in the 70s, it was called Filthy McNasty, fantastic bar name, and the band Suite posed in front of it for the iconic cover art of their album, Desolation Boulevard.
And then in the 80s, it was the location where the club scenes in the iconic cult classic Valley Girl were shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where they see the Plimsolls. So tons of history in this building. And, you know, for all the stories about all the Hollywood stars that have hung out there, everything that's happened there, there has been a lot of amazing music that's happened there. Even, like, the likes of Johnny Cash went there and played some gigs trying out some material for the album that would become American Recordings.
I don't want no aggravation when my train has left the station. If you're there or not, I may not even know. Have a round and remember things we did that weren't so tender.
So I promised a shocking fact about the music industry, and it's shocking in the sense that when you spend money on music, however, whether you're buying a concert ticket, buying a CD, paying for a streaming subscription, you probably imagine in your head that most of that money goes to the recording artist.
Yeah, you would think it makes the most sense if it goes to the artist.
Yeah, their face is on the cover, right?
Yeah.
Well, so the reality is, according to a new analysis by Citigroup, musicians only take home 12% of total music industry revenue.
Where's the rest of it? Because I know it's not going to us, Jay. So where's the rest of this money going to?
So in the report, they have an infographic in the shape of a guitar. It's a very accessible report. There's a link over at thecurrent.org. And they show that, it's kind of the head of the guitar stock. That's what represents what the musicians actually get. And the rest goes to streaming services, promoters, labels, distributors, venues. I mean, think about all the people involved in the music industry, some of whom are very important, essential. I mean, someone's got to own and run the venue, a venue like the Viper Room, for example. But a lot of other people maybe are not entirely necessary, which is the recommendation the analysts from Citigroup ultimately sort of suggest. They suggest that maybe technology will allow the record industry to get more efficient and cut out a lot of sort of the unnecessary parties who get their hands in the pot of money that consumers spend.
And see, the moral of this is go see live music, and when you're at the live show, purchase some of the merch, because that, you know, at least goes into the pockets of the musicians.
Probably literally. They take that $20 bill you spent on the t-shirt, and that is their late night diner money. So we've got a story about, you have to brace yourself for this one, Jade, but Lance Bass is feeling, quote, heartbroken.
Oh, I know what this is about. I saw this. So just tell the story.
Okay. So you're laughing. You know, there are worse things to feel heartbroken about. Well, he's feeling heartbroken because he has failed at his attempt to purchase the Brady Bunch house.
And you know what? This is just heartbreaking in multiple ways, because how cute would it be if Lance Bass actually owned that house? He would be so appreciative. But also, he's the sort of guy that bought tickets to go to space. And Lance Bass has yet to go to space. So I'm a champion of Lance Bass and his big dreams.
He keeps having great ideas and they never quite work out for him. So he's bitter about this because this is the Los Angeles house that was pictured in exterior shots from the early 70s sitcom. According to the real estate agent, who might be a little biased, it's the second most photographed house in America after the White House. So pretty big deal. And Lance Bass made a bid when it went up for sale, but was ultimately outbid by HGTV. Yes, the television network.
Dream crushers.
So they say they are going to renovate the house and, quote, tell safe, fun stories with this beloved piece of American TV history. I don't know why they have to put it safe there. Like, were they concerned that the staircases are going to collapse or something?
Yeah, you never know, because the interior shots were not filmed at that house.
Yeah.
It's completely different on the inside. So I'm very curious how they're going to be able to pull this all together.
So they're going to figure this out. But meanwhile, Lance Bass says he made this bid, and he says he made a very big bid, way over the asking price, he says in an Instagram post complaining about all of this, and then was outbid by this then unnamed corporate bidder that apparently had bottomless pockets. And so Lance Bass now feels like he was just a pawn in the whole game, that the seller was just using him to drive up the price so they could then go to HGTV and be like, listen, we have a member of NSYNC who is offering us a very generous sum of money, and you're going to need to beat that if you want to own this house apparently in need of some maintenance.
Poor, poor Lance Bass.
Here's the story of a lovely lady.
And that is today's music news. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Anna Reed, and we'll be back tomorrow with more music news.
The youngest one in curls.
It's the story of a man.